How is everybody this morning? Doing well, I hope. It's been a few weeks since we've done our memory verse, so hopefully you can remember it. John 10:10. Let's say it together, and then we'll pull it down, and we'll say it one more time. Are you ready? John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. All right, let's pull it down and say it again. Ready? John 10:10. The thief. Excellent, excellent. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm so glad you've memorized this verse. It's an excellent, excellent verse. I'm so thankful for the men that we have in our church that are able to come and speak so that my wife and I can have a holiday. And so I'm very grateful for them. And just excellent news to be finishing all of Canada with the Gospel of John and Book of Romans. We're so, so grateful for that. And so I'm so honored to be here this morning and just be back in this place and preaching again. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in. We're going to John chapter 12 this morning. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning, and thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for this church and all that it means to us, and Father, what it means to this community. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be a shining light in this dark world, and I pray that your will be accomplished in our lives. Give us wisdom today as we open your word. Help us to rightly divide it. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to have a little fun this morning, so pay attention with me if you would, okay? How many of you men are married? Would you just raise your hand? How many of you men are married? Okay? All right. You're brave enough to raise your hand. Okay, now here's my second question. How many of you married men love your wives? Raise your hand. By the way, that should be the exact same amount. Okay? There should be no less. Okay. Now here's a question for you. How many of you married men who love your wives have ever had the privilege of hearing your wife say, "I told you so"? That should be the same amount as well. Now I need to repeat question two, okay? How many of you married men love your wives even after she has told you, "I told you so"? Now I understand if that number goes down. I get that. I'm kidding. Hearing the words, "I told you so," are so painful. They're frustrating words to hear, really, truthfully, from anyone, let alone your spouse. Words that were spoken, "I said this," have been now brought back into remembrance, and they are ringing in your ears over and over and over again, and wives are really good at digging up the past, right? Reminding you. There may have been any number of reasons why you decided to do something different than what your wife was suggesting. There could be any number of reasons. And the results are in. There is not much you can do when all is said and done, but hear those words over and over again, "I told you so." And then on top of that, you get to experience the regret that comes along with it. In our passage today, we are drawing to a close on what is considered Jesus' public ministry. He opened his public ministry by being baptized by John the Baptist in John chapter 1. Now we're coming to the end in which Jesus will pull his disciples in close, and he will spend his last days teaching them everything they need to know to be successful when he is gone. You'll remember in John chapter 12, Jesus has just ridden in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And the crowds lined the streets, and the crowds were waving palm branches and throwing their coats down and really just honoring him. And they were shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." The Pharisees, the religious elite, wanted Jesus dead. In fact, they threatened anybody that confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, that he was Christ, that they would be put out of the synagogue. There are a group of Gentiles, if you'll remember this, that wanted to meet Jesus. And Jesus openly is teaching anyone who will hear him. And he says that unless a seed is buried and dies, it cannot bear fruit. His words in this moment are extremely, extremely important. But we pick up the story in verse 44, John chapter 12 and verse 44. John chapter 12 and verse 44. The Bible says this, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So, Jesus is reiterating, he's once again pointing to the fact that he and his Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, they are one in the same. If you've seen me, you've seen him. If you believe in me, you believe in him. He is the light, he says in verse 46. The light that has come into the world, and if you believe in him, you will no longer be in darkness. He is the light. But what I want you to notice this morning is this next part, verse 47. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, "And if any man hear my words," notice, "if any man hear my words and believe not," watch this, "I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Now this is interesting to me, because in another passage of Scripture, Jesus says, "I have been given all judgment." He is the judge. So this is a very much a contradiction in Scripture, right? Now some of you are like, I don't know how to answer that question. In one place, Jesus says, "I am come to judge. I am going to judge." And here he says, "I am not judging." So what is it? Listen, the Bible says very clearly, Jesus says very clearly that he did not come to judge this world. He came to save it. In fact, John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to" what? "To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be" what? "Saved." Okay, great. No judgment then. Woohoo! No judgment. Everything that we have been taught about judgment is false, right? So if we believe on him, great. And if we don't believe on him, no big deal, right? There's no judgment. That he didn't come to judge. Well, here's the problem is we stop there. But we need to keep reading. Let's keep going. Verse 48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." Who is the one that judgeth him? "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Read that again. "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So notice, please, if you reject Jesus and the words that he has given, listen, there will be judgment. There will be judgment. Jesus' entire goal was to come to this earth and to save all mankind. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He desperately wants all men to come to repentance. But when you make a statement like that, that I've come to save all, but yet there are still people who will reject those words, then that by definition means that if there's one side of the coin, there has to be another side of the coin. At some point, you will be judged. But did you notice what the judgment would be? What the bar, what we must measure up to the judgment will be the words that Jesus has spoken. The words that Jesus has spoken, the words of Jesus will be the bar by which everyone will be judged. Please don't miss this. The words of Jesus will be the bar by which everyone will be judged. By the way, look at verse 49. Notice he says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." And so Jesus' words just aren't willy-nilly. They're not just a man talking here and there. Listen, these are the commands of God given by Jesus Christ to the world. This is something, honestly, that sometimes we don't talk about or we don't really believe. We don't really talk about this, and certainly sometimes we don't really believe. But listen to me, please. You and I go on and on with our lives thinking that we're okay. Thinking that everything's all hunky-dory. We have religion. We come to church Sunday. We might even come to church Wednesday. We have what many would term spirituality. We're moral. We have morality. We have a way of life that, to be honest, compared to many, many people, if we're comparing them, we are far superior to the immorality that we see around us. And by the way, let me just be clear. That's a good thing. Living a moral life is a good thing. It's something to strive for. Listen, please. But the judgment will not be, "Okay, Johnny, let me stand you here next to Al Capone and see how you measure up." It will not be, "Okay, let me stand you right here next to Adolf Hitler." That's not the judgment by which we will be judged. Listen, you can look across this room today and say, "I'm better than so-and-so, and I'm here more than so-and-so is here, or I give more money than so-and-so," or the list could go on, or "I dress better," or this, that, or the other thing. Listen to me, please. That will not be the judgment by which we are judged. Whether we did something better than someone else or not. Listen, the judgment by which we will be judged are the words of Jesus Christ. He's going to open the words of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before God and he's going to open the words of Jesus Christ. And you might say something like this, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I can picture God saying, "Is that you?" He might continue, John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I can hear God saying, "Is that you?" John 6:40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." I can picture God saying, "Is that you?" John 6:51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." God says, "Is that you?" Then spake Jesus, John chapter 8 and verse 12, again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Is that you? John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Is that you? John 10:27-28, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Is that you? John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Is that you? John chapter 12 and verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Is that you? Listen to me, this changes things for me. This makes me think about life just a little bit differently. Listen, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that the books will be open. The Bible says that another book will be opened, and it's called the Book of Life. The Bible says that whoever's name is not written in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Do you remember why Jesus came? John chapter 10 and verse 10. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Listen, when you believe in Jesus, when you accept his words, when you trust in his words, the Bible says that your name gets written down in the book of life. And so listen, Jesus has said these words. Jesus has come. He's been here. He's told us. He's given us all of these things. And that's by which we will be judged. Listen, there will certainly be objections at that time of judgment. Many people will say, but I did many wonderful works in your name. I was religious. I went to that church on 32 Park Ave. It's called Bible Baptist Church. I went there every week. Or I went once a month. Or I went on Christmas and Easter. I helped at the soup kitchen downtown. I gave money to charity. I cleaned up my life. I gave to others. I'm not a bad person. That will be the objection, almost guaranteed. You know, in the same context of the importance of Jesus' words, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Haven't we done that? He says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, please. In fact, if you're in the habit of writing things down, I encourage you to write this down. At judgment day, it will not be our perception of life, but our reception of the words of Jesus Christ. At judgment day, it will not be our perception of life, but it will be our reception of the words of Jesus Christ, because sometimes you and I think we're pretty good. You and I think we've got it all together, but Jesus says, listen, you were born in sin, you are a sinner, and you need a Savior. And if you will believe in me, you have life. If you will not believe in me, you do not have life. It's as if God will say, I told you so. Listen to me. I don't mean this to be crass or disrespectful, but it's as if God will say, I told you so. How many times did you have to hear it? How many times did you have to read it? How many times did I have to go over this again? And you blatantly rejected it and said, no, I don't believe. I told you what you needed to know. Did you believe it or did you not? How many of us, as of right now, at this moment, would be able to stand in front of God, look Almighty God in the face? And when he asked those questions, when he read through just a few of the words of Jesus and said, is that you? How many of you would be able to say, yes, that's me? Yes, that's me. I believe the very words that Jesus said. And because of that, by your promise, God, I have eternal life. How many of you can say that with assurity? Look at John chapter 12, verse 50. Look at verse 50. Jesus still speaking, he says, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus is simply saying, listen, God's commandment that I have been given is life everlasting. So listen, the words of Jesus Christ bring life everlasting. The words of Christ bring life everlasting. Peter recognized this, by the way. The Apostle Peter, the guy who walked with him for 3.5 years, who was quite boisterous about a lot of things. Peter recognized this in John chapter 6 and verse 68 when Peter said this. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." At that time, listen, there were people walking away from Jesus Christ by the droves. Jesus had said some pretty crazy things. In this passage, he's beginning to talk about eating of his flesh. What? We don't want to have any part of that. And so people leaving, and Jesus says, "Will you go also? Will you go also?" Peter says, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Listen, please. Do you believe Jesus' words or do you not? There are still people who will declare their own way to eternal life. They will stand before an almighty God and say, "Yeah, but I did this. Yeah, but I did that. Yeah, but." Listen, you can say, "Yeah, but," all you want when it comes to judgment day. But when it all is said and done, you will be judged by the words of Jesus Christ. There will be people who will still try to do good works in order to obtain eternal life. But Jesus is extremely clear here that eternal life can only be obtained through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, what is stopping you who sit here this morning from believing that Jesus Christ is the only way? What is stopping you this morning from believing that Jesus is the only way? There are a myriad of different potential possibilities. But our passage today, and I find it remarkably interesting, in the previous verses, we have not read them yet, we are told about some people who did not believe. And we're also told about some people who believe on him, but with some conditions. So I want to have a look at them, if you will. Look at verse 37, John 12, 37. The Bible says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." So not only is he saying things, but he's performing miracles. He's healing the blind. He's raising Lazarus from the dead. By the way, these people saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He's healing lame men. He's doing incredible work, so much that the books of the world could not contain the whole. So many miracles, yet they believed not on him. If you'll jump down, verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him." Woohoo! That's great. "But because of the Pharisees," what did they not do? "They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." And in verse 43, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." I want you, if you will, to put yourself in this situation. You're spending time with a myriad of different people. You're walking through life with them. You're hearing different things. You're talking to them. You're listening to their stories. You're thinking through your own story. You're spending time with these people and you're really becoming really great friends. You're becoming closely knit. All of a sudden, you start to hear about something called the gospel. And you maybe sit in a church service or listen to a YouTube video, or in the old days, you listen to the radio and you hear a gospel message. Something that says that you're a sinner, that you deserve to die and go to hell because you're a sinner, but Jesus Christ came and offered you salvation from that sin and allowed you to a place called heaven. And here you sit. There you sit thinking, "Man, that's compelling. That's something I think I need. That's something I think that would be helpful in my life, not only in this life, but the life to come. And I want the life that Jesus Christ promised. But then you start to think, but what will my friends think? Those people that you're closely tied to, you've had them over for campfires, and you've talked about politics, and you've talked about the way the world is going, and you've talked about rearing children, and you've talked about all these things, and what will my friends think? Teenagers, this is difficult for teenagers. Go to school, want to fit in, want to spend time with all the cool people, and the first thought that comes into our mind, not just teenagers, but all of us, what will they think? The reality is this. Never once has what somebody else thought got somebody into heaven. But it has put many people in hell. It has put a great many people in hell. Because so often we care more about what everyone else thinks than what God thinks. Listen, maybe you're sitting here wondering, what will my spouse think? I've lived with them for X number of years. What are they going to think? I've already told them that I'm a Christian. What will they think? Listen, it doesn't matter. What matters at this moment is, what does God think? What matters at this moment is, what does God say? We have to think that there's coming a day when I'll look God in the face and I'll say, yeah, but I just didn't want to do anything else because I didn't want to know what my spouse would think. And God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Listen, maybe you're sitting here thinking, what will my family think? They already think I'm a little out there for attending church. What will they think? What will my friends think? What will my coworkers think? Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the Bible says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Jesus says in Matthew, that if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. So this is pretty important stuff. Many people have cared more about their jobs, their friends, and their family than God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I love my job, I love my friends, and I love my family. But there's coming a day when I will stand before an almighty God, and none of those things will matter. Listen, please, this is the same snare that happens to people who come to church here every Sunday as well. Some of you sit here today, and you've spent a great deal of time in this building. You've spent your time with Jesus, and you exit this building never willing to let anyone know that Jesus is your Savior. When somebody asks, what did you do this week? You might say, oh, I went to church, or you might avoid the conversation altogether, but you're unwilling to share Jesus Christ with someone. We're never willing to take His word and obey it. I want you to understand something. The word of God is our standard. There's going to come a day when you will stand before the judgment. And God will either say, depart from me, I never knew you, or enter into the joy of thy Lord. But I want you to remember, there's coming another judgment by which all of our works will be judged. And they'll be judged by this book. They'll be judged by the words of our Savior. And in the word of God, the words of our Savior, what did He say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, are we willing to do that? Or are we like these chief rulers here who said, listen, I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want somebody to think ill of me. I don't want to get kicked out of my job. I don't want to get kicked out of the epicenter of life. I don't want to be an outcast. I want everybody to like me. And so because of that, I'm never going to tell my friends. I'm never going to tell my family that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm never going to compel them. Listen, I have no idea if the Bible even says this, but can you imagine looking at God in the face and saying, yeah, I believe that, and the next person in line is that person whom you should have told? I don't know how it works, I have no idea, but you see them stand up next and say, no, I never believed that. And all you can think as you're walking away is, I should have told them. I have many regrets in my life. Had opportunities to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I have not. Days, I mean this, days later, they passed. The regret that I feel from that is oftentimes overwhelming. And I just want to encourage you this morning. There are people that you work with, that you have a relationship with, people that respect you, that need to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. They need to know how they can accept Him as well. The Word of God is our standard. Do we fall in line with it, or do we cast it aside for how we want to appear, for our own perception? Listen, none of it will matter in the end. These are Jesus' last words that He speaks to the multitude. In fact, you can see, look at verse 36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Notice, these things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide Himself from them. It's important, the last thing somebody says. Often when I'm discussing things with my wife, the last thing she says is what she believes wholeheartedly. And if I go away from that and do what I think is right to do and get away from it, and it comes back that she was right, you know what I'm going to remember? I'm going to remember the last words that she said. And like any good wife, she's going to say, I told you so. I said, I hope and pray that every person who sits here this morning will not stand before God and hear Him say, I told you so, or something like that. We have it in front of us. Let's believe it. Let's live it out. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for all You've done for us. Father, thank You so much for Your Word and all that it means. The letter that You've written us that we might know, first of all, how to have eternal life. Second of all, how to live this life. How to please You doing it. Father, I pray that if there is one person, child, teenager, adult, senior, Father, one person that does not know You as personal Savior, that today would be the day. They say, I don't care about what anybody else thinks of me. I have to know. I have to get my relationship with God squared away. Father, the rest, who I truly believe are saved, Father, would You convict our hearts? Help us not to hide the fact that we're a Christian. Help us to share the love of Jesus Christ every time we get the opportunity. Help us to confess You before men. Father, we'll pray all these things in Your name.